In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is a great pleasure for me to be here today. If you want, you can sit down. I just wanted to say a few words. I want to thank Father Lawrence for inviting me to come to be with you today. To introduce myself, my name is Father Innocent. I'm a member of the Superior at the Monastery of St. John in Northern California in Manton. Once in a while, I like to go and visit some parishes, and I was grateful for this opportunity. Today is a wonderful day. What an amazing saint we have in our Venerable Father Herman of Alaska. I just wanted to say a few words about him, because he is dear to my heart. Today is his day. And we know that we just have a few saints in North America, just a handful, but how dear they are and how precious they are. It is a wonderful point that we in our church treasure the people that are in it, the venerable saints, those who are living and those who are in the heavens. I think about that from time to time when it comes my turn to do a certain kind of an errand. At our monastery, we make beeswax candles, and I sometimes have to make the trip to San Francisco and the Bay Area to pick up leftover candle stubs. And as I'm driving along, it's kind of a stressful day because there's lots of stops, and I don't like being away from the monastery. But there's one sometimes it happens, a glorious moment. As I'm driving across the Golden Gate Bridge, I see in the distance the gleam of the dome of the cathedral, the Joy of All Who Sorrow, where the relics of St. John, our patron saint, are kept. And my heart is always filled with joy because I see that and I remember everything in San Francisco is not all that bad, because there are some precious treasures that we have, including, I think sometimes this is, you know, there are many wonderful things in San Francisco, but my own opinion is this is the best part. We have a saint, and one who is right there. That's almost the redeeming quality of San Francisco, and it makes the trip a little easier for me. I think it is wonderful that we have such saints in our church. I also have a great love for St. Herman because I grew up in Alaska. And although at the time I was not part of the Orthodox Church, nevertheless, I have an affinity for him because he lived there on Kodiak. We remember his life because he was sent as a monk from Valong with a number of his brothers, fellow monks, to go to the mission in Alaska to bring the gospel and to the Native Americans that were there. And we had to face a lot of hardship. He had to face the arduous journey all the way to Alaska, probably the knowledge that he would not get to return to his homeland. He had to leave his monastery in Valong to make the trip there. And while he was there, he and his fellow missionaries faced incredible opposition, not from the people they were ministering to, but from their own fellow Russians in the company that were not interested in, maybe not always interested in, the welfare of the indigenous people. And while he was there, one by one, the members of the mission were sent elsewhere or perished. And as we know in the story of Venerable Herman, he was left alone. But nevertheless, he persevered and lived this hard life, and facing incredible opposition. And we know that he was not a person that was intellectually sophisticated. He didn't have the arguments of modern times of that day, but he had a heart of love, and that was unmistakable and could not be hidden. There was one encounter that I will read about a certain person that was influenced by St. Herman, unlikely. Yanofsky, the governor, recounts many instances where St. Herman warmed the hearts, not just of the natives, but of the Russians. Yanofsky himself was one such. Highly educated, and a superficial Christian, he was really a free thinker until he met St. Hermann. To my amazement, he spoke so powerfully, so sensibly, and argued so convincingly that it now seems to me that no education or earthly wisdom could withstand his words. We conversed every day until midnight, and even later, about the love of God, about eternity, about the salvation of the soul, and about Christian life. His sweet speech poured forth from his lips in an unceasing stream. With such constant talks, and through the prayers of the holy elder, the Lord completely converted me to the path of truth, and I became a true Christian. For all this, I am indebted to Father Hermann. He is my true benefactor. And yet, we know our Venerable Father Hermann mostly because of his love for the American people. Really, in that time, the native Alaskans were called simply Americans. And I think, in a way, I think that's a good association because they love the Americans, and I think Father Hermann showed a particular love for them. He built a school for children to teach them. He took care of orphans, and he kept his life of monastic life of prayer at the same time. And we know that he also ferociously defended the Americans. In another story that I will share, how the Russian company was often unjustly persecuted the Native Americans, and with the arrival of a new governor, St. Hermann, and this story may be familiar to others, but it's worth repeating, appealed to him on behalf of the people he was representing, the Native Americans. How Father Hermann regarded the native inhabitants of America, how he understood his relationship to them, and how he had compassion for their needs, he expresses himself in one letter addressed to the former governor of the colonies, Yanofsky. The Creator has given to our beloved motherland this region. Like a newborn babe, it is still without strength or knowledge of any kind, nor sense. It demands not only protection, but also because of its weight, its weak and tender age, it demands support. But it is still not even possible to ask anyone to do this. The dependence of this people is a blessing of the providence, given as it is into the hands of the Russian authorities here for an unknown period of time, and is now given into your hands. For this reason, I, the most humble servant of the local peoples and their nurse, stand before you with streaming tears and write my request of you to be a father and protector to us. We, of course, know no eloquence, but we say with the halting tongue of children, wipe away the tears of defenseless orphans, cool the heat of sorrow in melting hearts, give us to know the meaning of consolation. What incredible words of advocacy and of heartfelt appeal that Father Hermann spoke on behalf of those people that he was sent to minister to. And it is important for us to know that because we often, sometimes, we are far removed from the situation that existed nearly 200 years ago in Alaska. And yet there are many times that we as a people feel like we're orphans or that we are alone, struggling against the tide of evil in this world that seems to almost overwhelm and stifle us. And there are many times when we feel like those orphans. I know that the people that visit our monastery sometimes will ask us, and I was even invited to speak about, you know, how do we live this Christian life while living in the world? And I think it is a struggle. It is a tremendous, difficult calling, and we are called to a particular place and time. Not to be resented, not to be ignored as if would that we lived in a different time. But it is according to the providence. When we can accept the providence of God, then we can live accordingly with the situation that we are given, with a sense of being overwhelmed, not with a sense of being being swept up in the tide of the evil of this world, but with a determination that this is our stand, this is our call to be in this time and in this place. And when we feel that we are alone against the tide of evil in this world, we must have it firmly planted in our hearts that we are not alone. We are not alone. The treasure of this church are the people in the church. Today we celebrate a wonderful saint, Saint Herman of Alaska. He is still with us. His ministry of love has not diminished. His ministry to, I would venture to say, it's his ministry to the particular people that he was called to, the Americans. We think of them as the Native Americans, but we're there with them. We're with that group. And I think he sees that. Father Herman, I think, was one of the very first saints in America, and he has a particular place. So today we rejoice in having him as a heavenly protector that is not far from us. We even are able to venerate his relics. And the relics of a saint are, in a sense, like a seed of that which has already come to pass. He has lived a holy life and has gone to the heavens. And yet, a seed of what will come yet in the future. The coming of the glory of the resurrection is already there, because we know at the end of time, those relics that we venerate will, in fact, come to life. Will come to life. And let us think about that and know and have a consolation of the nearness of the saints, and the nearness particularly of the Venerable Father Herman, as he stands by our side in this time that we are called to live in, that we must not shirk, that we must not turn a blind eye to, but that we must stand firm and stand alone when we are called to. Venerable Father Herman, pray to God for us.